You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Make sure you join Samantha Wright and Boise State University political science professor Gary Moncrief for their weekly podcast. It's called Legislative Breakdown. They break down the Idaho legislature so you don't have to. We dig into what's happening, we drill down into the why, and we find out how it affects you. So this week, Sam will be talking to a freshman lawmaker about her new job as a legislator and why do lawmakers want this job anyway? I've always wondered that. That's the Legislative Breakdown podcast. You can find it on iTunes, the NPR One app, or at our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Well, Idaho will get a chance to see the first and only total lunar eclipse of 2019 this Sunday night. In fact, it is the last total eclipse of the moon until the year 2021. The eclipse will last several hours, and it's also a super wolf blood moon. Sounds a little bit scary, right? Well, we asked Brian Jackson, assistant professor at the Department of Physics at Boise State University, to come in and help explain what all of this means. Welcome back to the program, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Gemma.
Okay, so let's start with the lunar eclipse. It's this Sunday, and if we're in Boise, as long as it's not cloudy, should we be able to see it?
Yes. Anyone who has nighttime during the eclipse, those are people who are going to see the eclipse. So that means anybody in the U.S., some folks in Western Europe, we'll all be able to see the lunar eclipse.
Okay, so explain what a lunar eclipse is, because, you know, we know the solar eclipse because of the big, huge solar eclipse before. Talk to me about the difference.
The solar eclipse is when the Earth passes through the moon's shadow as cast from the sun.
Okay.
The lunar eclipse, that's when the moon passes through the Earth's shadow. So what we're going to see on Sunday is the moon passing through the Earth's shadow. Lunar eclipses are much more frequent and easier to see because the Earth has a much bigger shadow than the moon does.
Oh, that makes sense.
So everybody on the night side can see a lunar eclipse, whereas with the solar eclipse, the total solar eclipse, only people in a very narrow band can see that.
So this is still worth seeing.
Absolutely. The lunar eclipse, if you have not seen one, is a really striking and kind of a haunting sight. It's definitely worth seeing if we're not cloudy on Sunday.
That's the big thing right there.
That's the big thing, yeah.
Okay, so then come July, there'll be a lunar eclipse, but this is a partial one.
Right, and so the moon, of course, can pass through part of the Earth's shadow or the total shadow. You get partial or total eclipses depending on how much of the Earth's shadow falls onto the moon. So in July, only about half of the moon will be covered up by the Earth's shadow, and so you only see a partial eclipse in that case.
So does it kind of look like how the solar eclipse looked when it just, you know, all of a sudden just kind of went dark? Or does it look, does the moon kind of go away? Or what should we be looking for?
Well, what you're going to see is kind of described in the name blood moon. So the moon will actually turn kind of a dark, bloody red during the eclipse. It's not going to be a particularly darker than usual because it's already night when this happens. Mm-hmm. But what you're actually seeing when the moon turns blood red during a lunar eclipse, that's actually the sunset around the rim of the Earth. The light from the sun is actually refracting through the Earth's atmosphere and turning the moon red, the same color we see during a sunset. So you're actually seeing 1,000 sunsets all at once in the reflection from the moon.
That's really cool. So does this happen every time there's a full lunar eclipse?
Yes, the moon will turn red during a total lunar eclipse every time.
So this is why it's called the super wolf blood moon?
So the total lunar eclipse, we could always call that the blood moon.
Okay. Right?
Now, a super moon, the moon actually is in an eccentric orbit. So sometimes it's closer to the Earth near perigee, and that's when the moon looks bigger. We often refer to that as a supermoon. And other times during its orbit, the moon is farther away, and so it looks a little smaller. That's called a micromoon.
Oh, okay. So this will be bigger then.
And so that's the super blood moon portion of the name.
Where's the wolf coming?
Yeah, the wolf. So I have to look this up myself because I had not really encountered this before. So the old Farmer's Almanac has names for each of the different kinds of full moons you get every month. So if you have a full moon in January, that's referred to as a wolf moon because apparently that's when the wolves will be howling hungry at outside the village. So we call that a wolf moon.
All right.
But the full moon in June, that's called a strawberry moon.
Because we harvest strawberries in June?
I think that's the reason. Yeah, exactly. So there's these fun names for each full moon. And it just so happens that you always have lunar eclipses during a full moon. So if you have a full moon in January, that's a wolf moon. If you have a lunar eclipse during January, that's a wolf blood moon. And if the moon is very close to the Earth, then you get a super wolf blood moon, which is what we're going to have.
And that is just a mouthful to say.
It's a lot.
It is a lot to say. It's a lot to remember. I'm talking with Brian Jackson. He's the assistant professor at the Department of Physics at Boise State University. And we're talking about the total lunar eclipse this Sunday and why it's called a super wolf blood moon lunar eclipse. So what is the attraction of eclipses and lunar eclipses in particular?
Well, I think, you know, lunar eclipses are particularly easy to see. So if folks remember the solar eclipse last summer or two summers ago, it was tricky to see because you had to really travel to this really narrow band, the path of totality, in order to see it. The lunar eclipse, if you can see the moon that night, you're going to be able to see the lunar eclipse, and that's half of the Earth that will be able to see it. Eclipses are interesting, I think, kind of generally because they remind us that we're on this big rocky spaceship flying through space. It's kind of easy to forget that we're flying through space at thousands of miles an hour, and an eclipse kind of reminds us of that.
And that is what's interesting as well, is that it kind of does kind of take you back and think about before we had all of this information about why this happened.
Yeah, it's a very kind of primal, deep, fundamental, natural phenomenon that just reminds us of our connection to the kind of the universe.
So what about eclipses in history? And what I mean by that is, so if we go back to like the solar eclipse of two summers ago, that was historical. I mean, there are people that will never see something like that again in their lifetime. We've had other eclipses like that as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So we have, you know, total solar eclipses are not all that rare. It's just that because the moon's shadow is so tiny, you can't usually see the solar eclipse. You have to go to see the path of totality. Lunar eclipses are more easy to see, of course, so people see them more often. But there are a number of very famous eclipses in history, and I think one that's especially interesting is there was a lunar eclipse in 1504, and Columbus, who had just come to the Americas, was basically stranded in Jamaica. And for about 6 months after he was stranded, he was getting help from the natives there in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. But finally, they got tired of just bringing him free food. And they said, you know what, Columbus, we're not going to help you anymore. Well, Columbus went back to his astronomical almanac that he'd remembered to bring and noticed that there was going to be a lunar eclipse in March in 1504. And so he threatened the Indians, saying, if you do not keep supplying us with food, my God will cloud the moon tonight. And of course, the moon was cloudy, and it scared all the natives, and so they decided to keep supplying Columbus's ship. This kind of story makes its way kind of an apocryphal way into the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. There's a fun story about an eclipse during that saves
really?
The boss's life in that story.
So it's going back to an almanac and knowing when these eclipses are going to happen.
We've been able to predict eclipses going back thousands of years into the past. If you just watch the night sky over a few decades, you start to pick up on patterns. And so people have been able to predict lunar eclipses going back thousands of years.
And then they use it to their advantage.
And sometimes they use it to their advantage.
they don't use their power for good. So here locally, when does the eclipse start on Saturday? And kind of what's the high point?
So officially, the eclipse starts at about 7:36 p.m. Mountain Time. So it'll be, you know, still kind of early evening. Mm-hmm. The deepest part of the eclipse, that will occur at about 10:12 p.m. So that's when the moon will be in the deepest part of the Earth's shadow, and it'll be the most prominent, again, assuming we have clear weather. The whole eclipse will last a couple of hours, but the darkest part of the eclipse, that'll be about an hour long.
And is that when it will have that blood kind of orange?
That's when you're going to have the most distinctive kind of deep red moon is about 10 o'clock.
And then what does the physics department of BSU have planned for this year, certain events, things like that coming up? Because it's not just all about lunar eclipses.
Yes. So we do these regular public astronomy events on the first Friday of every month. And so the next one coming up is going to be February 1st on that Friday. We're going to bring in Dr. Samuel Howell from NASA's Jet Propulsion Labs to talk about another moon. This is Jupiter's moon Europa. NASA is planning in the next couple of decades to send a mission to Europa, potentially to investigate beneath the ice where we think there might be life. We don't know for sure, but there could be. And so if you're interested in hearing about looking for life on Jupiter's moon Europa, come out to Boise State's campus February 1st, Friday evening, to hear about that.
And you do a lot of events like this throughout the year. I mean, a lot of people may not know about it, but your department puts on numerous things like this.
Yeah, the first Friday of every month, we have these public astronomy events. And so these will continue all the way through the summer into the fall. So yeah, keep an eye out. If it's a Friday, first Friday of the month, chances are we're doing an astronomy event on campus.
That's super cool. So again, this Sunday is the Super Wolf Blood Moon Full Lunar Eclipse. Did I get that right?
I think that's all of it, yeah.
Okay, that's a mouthful. So it starts around 7, as you said, but that high point is 10:12
yes,
mountain time.
Exactly.
And that's when you'll see everything. I want to thank you for coming in today. I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation.
I've been talking with Brian Jackson. He's an assistant professor at the Department of Physics at Boise State University about the total lunar eclipse that is happening this Sunday evening.